This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loud Spot. I'm your host, Sebastian, hanging out with Jeremy London at Oklahoma City Pop Culture Con. All right, before we get this short interview started, I do want to remind everyone to please subscribe to my YouTube channel and check us out on all podcasting platforms. Jeremy, man, how often are you in Oklahoma City?
I'm here more often than you would think, because my family actually lives here in Oklahoma. I'm a Sooner, baby. I grew up in different parts of Oklahoma, lived on a cattle ranch in Wanette, Oklahoma for many years, grew up in the Panhandle. My family's all from here. They all live in the Tuttle area.
Okay.
So I've spent a lot of time in Oklahoma. It's a blessing to get to come back.
So when you first became an actor, were you already living in Los Angeles? Is that how that happened? Or were you living?
No, I was actually living in Dallas, Texas. When we lost our cattle ranch, we moved to Dallas, right before the eighth grade. And so I finished school in DeSoto, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. But I've sort of always been an Okie at heart.
You know? Okay. And people confuse you and your brother quite often, right?
Well, we're twins. It happens.
So when you go from like these conventions, do you ever act like you're him, or does he act like he's you?
No, I don't think that it never crosses our mind to do that. It's one of those strange things that everybody kind of thinks that that's something that they would do if they were a twin. Cause I've had so many people through the years being like, man, if I was a twin, why we'd switch classes. And I'm like, no, you wouldn't.
You say that because you're not a twin. That,
but when you're in it, it's not that important. It doesn't cross your mind to do those things because there are repercussions for those things. And my brother and I had a little bit more common sense than that. We didn't really feel like getting kicked out of school for everybody else's entertainment. I don't think.
Is Mallrats? So Mallrats is that like the main thing you go to conventions for?
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this for 32 years and I've got,
that long?
I've done a lot of movies and been on a lot of television shows and stuff like that. But Mallrats is the sort of the pop culture thing that gets me more traction at these things, because that's what people are interested in. People love the View Askew world, the Kevin Smith stuff. But Mallrats genuinely did become a pop the culture sort of phenomenon about 10 to 15 years after we made it.
So there was a Mallrats 2, okay? So
there was. I don't think there's going to be. There was.
Because when I looked it up, I was like, oh, there is, because I wasn't sure, and there was. And then I looked at the picture of you. It's the same picture from Mallrats 1 that they put on, like, the IMDb or whatever.
Oh, man, no, they have a picture of me. My IMDb photo is literally from when I was, like, 23, 24.
And that just gets used.
Won't change it. I've tried to change it for years and they won't change it. They always put that one back up and it drives me nuts. I'm 50 years old. I'm literally turning 50 years old this year in November. So it's so silly, but I had a guy come up to me yesterday. He's like, wow, you're aging. I'm like, yeah, I'm 50. I'm 50. I would hope so. How creepy would that be if you didn't?
Yeah. The one last question I want to ask you is, do people mistake you for other actors, like you're walking down the street in Los Angeles?
Well, it's happened. I mean, it depends on where I am. If I'm in New Orleans, and especially this one leather jacket that I wear, whenever I'm sporting like this look, this goatee look that I've got going on right now, I get stopped a lot thinking that I'm Tony Stark. everybody thinks, though, especially all the brothers, though, they all think I'm Iron Man. It's hilarious. I love it.
But Brandon Fraser, Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I've had an old couple in Home Depot get very excited because they thought I was Brendan Fraser. I've definitely never gotten Johnny
They're taking
Depp,
pictures with you, Brandon Fraser.
Yeah, they got so excited. And then I was like, yeah, that's not me. And then the funny part was I almost wanted to be like, I was almost more annoyed at the movie that they thought they recognized me from because they were like, we loved you in George of the Jungle. Like, that's the one? Like, that's the one?
Is there really? If you had to pick a favorite scene from any movie or TV show that you've ever been in, do you have one that stands out like as just maybe more yourself in character or something that just really draws you close to that particular role?
Yeah, well, there were a couple of scenes in Gods and Generals, a Civil War movie I did with Robert Duvall and Stephen Lang and a really amazing cast. There were a couple of scenes in that movie that were extraordinarily poignant. I mean, when you're sitting on a horse wearing Civil War costume and you're barreling down through the middle of soldiers with your sword out and you're pretending to shoot, and you're in it, you know?
Yeah.
You can't forget that kind of stuff.
That's cool, man.
Those are the moments I think that sort of have made me stop and really understand what a blessed life that I've had and like being able to be in some really, really cool situations, you know? But then being just sitting opposite of Stephen Lang and going toe to toe with him in these really beautifully written scenes and just doing some good acting together, you know, is, you know, stuff I'll never forget.
For real, the last question for real this time is any upcoming movies that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I can't say too much about it because we kind of have to keep a little bit tight-lipped, but I do have some really good things on the horizon. But
Mallrats 3?
I wish. Well, Mallrats 2. Let's do Mallrats 2 first. Okay. I don't think that's happening.
Mallrats 2 didn't come out?
No, we never made it. He's been talking about it for 8 years. It's not necessarily his fault. Kevin wants to do it. He doesn't really own the rights.
So the internet lied to me?
Well, yeah, the internet. Yeah, well, can you imagine?
I guess so.
Internet wasn't accurate. I can't imagine. It's not for lack of trying. He wants to make it. It's just, you know, he has to get the rights to his own movie from Universal, who owns
right,
it.
Right, right.
And so there's a whole, you know, to do there before we can even get it made. But maybe before we're all 90 years old, maybe we'll make it. Nobody's going to know what the hell the movie is.
Like, what? What's
you mean that number? Movie they made like in the last century?
Right on, man. I guess that's it, dude.
Right on, man.
Anything else you want to say?
No. Good to be here, man. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
You know what? You guys can check out our my fiance and I started a garden business when COVID hit, and we have started making pepper jelly and all these breads and all this great
online
stuff. And you can find us on Etsy at London's Most Wanted, and you can get the best pepper jelly you've ever had.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, it's killer.
My wife loves that stuff.
I make it. It's all my recipe. I make it, jar it, label it, sign it, ship it out. It's all my lady and I do it all from our house, and we've sold thousands and thousands of jars of this stuff.
That's awesome.
Love it. London's Most Wanted on Etsy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Loud Spot. I'm your host, Sebastian. I'm hanging out with Susanna Malik, and we are here at OKC Pop Culture Con. Here we go. Susanna Malik, you what are you, 4'3"?
4'2½. Remember that half. Something.
4'2". With the biggest fucking attitude. I swear to God, yesterday I was setting up my podcasting, right? I was setting my podcasting thing up, and I wasn't even talking to you. I asked somebody else, I said, hey, how does my tent look? And what did you say?
Look like shit.
She said it looked like shit. I said it looks like shit. You might know Susanna from Star Wars episodes, more recently The Mandalorian, but also some other things you've been on.
Yes, I've been on Boba Fett.
Okay.
I've been on Obi-Wan.
Okay.
I've been on Little Women of L.A.
Well, hold on. So it's for like little, like.
It was all like Little Women.
Like Little Women.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Damn, short people can get goddamn short too.
But also, you were on a Christmas movie?
Not a Christmas movie. I was on Californication.
Okay.
I've been on Mad TV Christmas.
I wrote Christmas movie now.
I make my own Christmas movie just sitting on Santa's lap. Shit. Trying to get all the damn damn tricks from him. All he does is leave my house when he walks, you know, on his sleigh. Talk about this little crazy bitch need to go.
You have one of the best personalities that I've met so far at this convention. Someone else told me that you had such a fun personality. How long have you been acting for?
It's been a while.
Yeah?
It's been a while. But this is just my hobby. I mean, and I love the fans. I like being out with the fans and just seeing the, you know, the vibe. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them get a little, ooh, you know, and I'm like, I'm not nobody. I'm just, you know, a regular human being like the rest of y'all. But it's heartwarming.
It's heartwarming.
I do really enjoy it.
It's fun, huh?
Yeah, correct.
And you live in the Los Angeles area. And you're with the talent agency?
Yeah, well, Central Casting has actually got me with the stuff that I've been in now.
Okay.
They're the ones who have got a lot of going on for me. And thank God they've called me and keep calling me. So I guess I'm
You're doing something right. You're doing something,
right.
Do you have a favorite scene? Not even Star Wars related, just in general that you've done. Just a scene that you really just enjoyed and made part. Like you really put everything into it. Because when you do the Star Wars stuff, you're dressed up, right, in the costume.
Yeah, correct. So it's something different. I like the reality TV show. Like the Little Women of LA, because you get to be yourself.
What network's that on?
That is on Lifetime.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch it.
I did season 8. If you're going to do it, go to the end.
Okay.
It was the end. We went to Cancun.
Okay.
Actually, this was my favorite scene just because I was being myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm the type of person, it's either you're right or you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't like people
bullying. She don't cut no slack. You don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit. You old, young, whatever. What's right is right.
That's
what's right is wrong. So one of the young ladies that was on the show, she's the main character. I'm just a little nobody, but she has a daughter. We were in Cancun filming, and you only have to be 18 in Mexico to drink.
Right, right. I remember.
So they kept pushing her daughter, like sending drinks over to her, and her mom is an ex-alcoholic.
Okay.
So, you know, that's dear to your, you know, you don't want to follow parents' footsteps sometimes.
Right, right, right.
And it's wrong.
See, my parents didn't drink. That's why I'm a drunk.
You see, that's why I'm a drunk. I think my dad, he drank too much. That's why I fucking came out this short. But it's just like, they kept giving her drinks. And then one of the guys was like, are you going out with us tonight? Or are you going to go stay with your mama? And I'm looking at him like, what is the difference? You know what I'm saying? And he was like, well, I'm not talking to you. I said, this is an A and B conversation.
That's right.
I'm seeing your ass out of got a security guy. I mean, I was going to whoop the dude's rear end. It just got real stupid.
Yeah.
You know? But then when you see, I don't really watch none of these shows, but when you do see these things, look at this mofo.
Jack Daniel's
in the house.
And he doesn't even drink. And he doesn't even drink. His name is Jack Daniel.
We're live. Well,
we're recording. It's not live right now.
It's not live.
He just walks into the interview.
It's recording.
Okay. It's recording live, but not live.
You ruined it. I was supposed to be a part of this bullshit.
Hey, you need to sit here and like jiggle your titties for us just because you I said, not your ball sack, your titties, bro.
Yeah, no, what the fuck? I'm not
I told you she don't give a shit.
I can still see my dick. I ain't Santa Claus.
Well, I want to see it. Hello?
I'm sorry, you can't, like this.
I'm done.
I'm not hung like a
handstand. Jack Daniel, Susanna Malik. I always want to say your last name totally wrong. Thank you for coming on, being a part of my show. I do want to do a full 30 minutes with you.
Okay.
Sometime maybe next month. I think you have a great personality. Okay. Fantastic.
I appreciate you.
You make me like the Star Wars, everything you do. I want to watch it more now.
I appreciate you.
Such a lovely person.
Thank you for being a fan, and thank you for loving me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, boss.
All right.
Thank you.
That's the time we got with her. Peace out, rock on, and much love. Bye. Bye. All right. Sitting here at Oklahoma City's PopCon Convention, Mr. Doug E. Doug.
Yeah, man.
From Cool Runnings, and also a bunch of other stuff you did. One of my favorite things, we will talk about Cool Runnings, so that's like the legendary thing, right? You did your Q&A upstairs earlier, and I was in there. We also did Shark Tale, and I didn't know that.
Yes.
And I like Shark Tale because I got kids.
That's right.
I got kids. So when you just real quick on Shark Tale, when you did that, were you able to hang out with the other actors, or were you guys all by yourself?
The only person I hung out with was Ziggy Marley. Yeah. Because he's the one I worked with in the studio. But I bumped into Robert De Niro. Bumped into Martin Scorsese.
Okay.
But I had already known Will. But I didn't work with anybody else. You know.
Yeah, it's such a neat thing to be. And you know, animated people, sometimes they don't get the recognition because it's animated. They're not in there. But Cool Runnings, man. That has to be – was that one of your favorite films that you've ever – I mean, it's obviously the most legendary one that you've ever done. No one knew – you said earlier you did not know that it was going to be as big of a film as it was.
Yes.
And so what was it like when you first realized it was going to be as big as it is?
Well, as big as it is, I did not realize. But when I realized it was going to be very popular was when I saw it on the opening night and I saw the way the audience reacted to it. That I went, oh my goodness, this is much more than I thought. But over the years, having traveled all over the world and had people from all over the world tell me about what it means to them and what, you know, how it's been used sometimes in classrooms. I took my kids to church and they played it in church. I was like, oh my God.
What was it like working with John Candy?
He was great. Oh my goodness.
Was he a mentor? Was this your first kind of starting your career in acting?
Yeah, it might have been my third or fourth movie, but it was like the first really, really major studio film. And he was a mentor. He immediately, the first day I met him, and he invited me to me and the other guys to his hotel room. And he immediately started, you know, getting into us about the business and this and that. So he right off the bat, it was like a mentor type relationship.
And you shot from Canada?
Yes.
And Jamaica, going back and forth. And it only took, 3 months to film the whole thing?
Yeah, about 3.5 months.
So how often did you guys go back and forth?
No, we didn't. We shot the last part of the movie first. And the first part of the movie last.
So was it confusing as an actor to realize what was going on?
We usually shoot things out of sequence in films. It was definitely a little strange because we're at the end of the movie and we're like, hey, and then we have to go back to the beginning of the movie.
Let's talk about getting in the bobsled. Yes. Okay. Because that was actually you jumping into the bobsled.
Yes, yes.
But the stuntman was there a stuntman that rode down?
Yes, exactly.
They didn't let you ride down.
No.
Did you ask him, can you?
Yes. they said, for insurance purposes, we don't think it would be safe.
So explain to the people that want to know exactly how it's filmed, because a lot of people, everyone knows who Cool Runnings is, right? Even the young kids know who they are. It's almost like it could be like a tradition, even a holiday tradition possibly, right?
True.
So you're jumping in the bobsled. At what point do they say cut? And are you actually on the hill?
Yes.
Were you scared you might actually go down?
Yes. I was like, okay, enough. Like we're at, you know. Yeah, somebody had to come in. I guess I think they had a guy like it was just like, you know, standing there or whatever it was. But we did get close where you could see over it, you know, and it's very daunting, you know.
God.
It's like, it looks like a roller coaster, but it's far worse than a roller coaster. I did go down once, and it was just like, oh, this is not a roller coaster.
Really? You actually went down once.
Oh, my God. And, it's like jumping out of an airplane because the force.
Yeah, I don't want to do that either.
Right?
I don't want to
do like that. A parachute or something, you know.
No, thank you.
Like, you know.
Man. Dude, that's just the fans, the reaction. Do you miss your hair?
I do miss my hair. I miss the ability to grow a lot of hair.
Yeah. when you get older, I mean, I'm bald. At least you have hair still.
Yeah, that's true. And people keep telling me that, and it's still no consolation. Because there's nothing like being able to shake it in the wind or whatever.
Any thoughts about Cool Runnings number 2? Because right now is the time where all these 80s movies are kind of coming back, right? And you would be a coach, I guess you would say, probably in a new movie. Any thoughts about that? Or are you hoping they do it?
I am hoping they do it. Yeah. I mean, you know, it takes a lot to get all of us to come together for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we did actually do that about 3 weeks ago. We came together, all of us. So that gives me hope that we might be able to get it done, you know. Yeah.
What's life like now? I know you. Are you still doing stand-up comedy?
I do stand-up comedy. Yes, and I just finished directing a movie called In the Weeds.
We're
editing, and we should be preparing soon. I'm very proud of it. So that's forthcoming.
And there's no date for the release of that yet.
No date yet. No.
Okay, but coming soon.
Coming soon.
And are you still in the movie scenes? You're still doing movies and acting?
Yes. Yes. I'm acting in that one that I directed. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right on, man. Cool. Well, here we go, Dougie Doug, Cool Runnings. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm sure you have. Go check it out. I mean, do you ever watch it?
I do watch it, yes. Yeah, and I love it. I love watching.
You go
myself.
Back and like I should have said something else instead of
no,
that.
No, not that one.
Not
almost
that
every
one?
Other movie, but that one is perfect as it is.
All right. Yeah, I know. We got to get going because there's some wrestling going on right now.
Well, great talking
man,
to you.
Man, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
All right.
This is the Loud Spot outro by Nothing Short of Tragic. Is this all talk with no action?
No.
Is this my thoughts with distraction?
No.
Is this what I bought that's in fashion? Or is this the Loud Spot with Sebastian?
Yes.
Does Nothing Short of Tragic have us back again?
Yes.
Does everything that's good really have to end?
Yes.
Our pimp host has to pimp show, so to get more episodes, make an order. This is over.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.